And let's go. Welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Oh man, how's the snow treating you?
Oh man, it's killer. Snowy Saturday morning. We're recording this, and
yeah,
probably the most snow we've had so far, right?
I know, for real. I was just thinking about the, you know, prayers out to people in California, but I was like, man, we're gonna have a crazy summer if we don't start getting some moisture. But
yeah,
I wasn't expecting it all at once. I was hoping spread it out a little.
Yeah, maybe,
you know? I don't know.
Maybe don't pray for moisture for a couple more days.
That's right.
if we keep this, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're good for a while.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy morning. There's tons of snow.
Absolutely.
Lots and lots.
I was like sliding everywhere trying to drive here this morning.
Oh yeah.
Pretty wild. Well, we have an exciting episode for you today, as usual. We're going to talk about our past week's games. We've got four to talk about this week. We've got two upcoming games. Of course, Andrew will pick our player of the week for this week. And then we'll talk about some Jazz trade rumors as we near the deadline. We'll talk about how the tank's going. And then we're going to cast our official All-Star ballots for the 2024-25 NBA All-Star game. And then, of course, we'll dive in local sports in this episode.
Yeah, make sure to check us out on all the podcast platforms. You can find them. We're always there. We're always pumping out new episodes once a week. Keep you tuned in with all things Jazz and just catch a couple guys' casual opinions about how the team's doing. We hope you enjoy this.
And this is episode 58 of Tuned In Jazz. Ooh, alrighty. Well, every week I'm gaining a little on the
I know.
Predictions tracker, but
yeah, adding it all up, you predicted between four games, you were 23 points off.
Yes,
so that's
sir.
Like,
let's go.
You're about 6 points off in each game, which is really good. I don't know, like, for the listeners, like, predicting these games within 6 points is pretty tough.
Yeah.
Like, usually you're going to be a little bit off if goes the other way, right? So that you had a good week. Not as much for me. I got 37 off in those four games. So
yeah, if I didn't know that I had an addictive personality, I'd probably start making some parlays or something. But I'll stay away because I can't control myself. So
yeah, I know. Last week you actually predicted like both the Jazz wins, like those back to back wins Bryce. So I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll predict the wins this week, and nope, didn't happen.
I feel like it's easy to predict when you're not a competitive team because you're like, you can just always err on the side of
right
on the losing pretty much, and you'll be okay, you know. But we know how fast it can change. I feel like last year I was ahead of you for a little while, and then at one point you just had a really good week and it just flipped, and so who knows? It could change.
It's true.
It could change.
Well, let's talk about first the Suns game, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know if there's a ton that you have to say about this one, but we weren't expecting to win this game in Phoenix, right?
And
we didn't, but it was actually close.
Yeah.
Right, we kept it there, but yeah,
absolutely.
Phoenix ended up winning.
Yeah. I thought Walker Kessler, we've talked about, he's just turned into kind of the double-double machine. 16 and 13, you'll take that, two blocks. Another just note though, Cody Williams 13 points plus 7, he had the highest plus minus. That's good news. You know, I feel like he's been kind of up and down, but we'll celebrate the ups when we're there, I guess.
Yeah, I also noticed Devin Booker went off. He had 34.
Yeah.
And like just looking at what quarters that was in, he scored 22 of those in the first half.
Oh, man.
Where they kind of got a lead. Like, especially in the second quarter, they got a big lead on us. So,
yeah.
Devin Booker kind of just took him.
Just balled out.
And that 12 points in the second quarter for him alone. So,
I'll be honest. He's such a fun player. Like, he's just like, we always talk about how smooth Kyrie Irving is, but, and like Paul George, you know, you got the smooth edits. But I think Devin Booker just like, he has the cleanest jump shot in the NBA, in my opinion. He's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, I guess crazy. For Jazz people, we got to see Grayson Allen ball us up again.
That's right.
I mean, he shot 20% from three, so we'll take that.
Yeah.
But he didn't do too bad. Or sorry, 40%. I was looking at Bradley Beal. But yeah, decent game for Grayson Allen.
Looks like our boy Royce didn't play though, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're hoping to see him. He's actually been playing pretty well.
Yeah,
for them. I think they desperately needed defending role players, and that's what he does.
He does that well, yeah.
Yeah, also just say, like, it seems like Lauri Markkanen's getting back to what we were used to.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not, like, especially last year, he was balling out, like, 23 a game, just mm-hmm. otherworldly, best we'd seen him, honestly.
Yeah.
He's not quite there yet, but he's actually, no. I think he's, in the last few games, we haven't given him a player of the week, but he's been elevating his game to where at least, like, seems like he's shooting very well, he's scoring very well, even though we're losing games, he's still showing that he's got value. So for those guys that were like against the Lauri Markkanen contract, hopefully that makes you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
I know some people are thinking that might not have been the best signing.
It's still
now
probably
that
too much money, but
not be as good. Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely proven that he's a piece on our team that should stick around. Then we turned around the very next night, played the Nets here at home, got the dub. Our only
this
dub
was
of the week.
Best game to watch this week, for my in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
We won by 1 point. Some tankers are mad at that.
Yeah.
But it went into overtime.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I don't know. Have we had an overtime game up until this point? I guess we could look.
I can't think. I'm trying to think.
No, that's our first overtime game this year.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We'll take it over a team like Brooklyn, too. I mean, they're... Yeah. I mean, I guess they're four games behind us, so we need to be careful, but, you know... Get a win here and there. Teams like Brooklyn are good teams to win against.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if you saw this live, but Isaiah Collier in the end of regulation gets an 8-second violation.
Yeah, I saw that.
Really, really bad, right? Colin Sexton's like yelling right at him in the huddle after, like, dude, what are you doing? You're dumb. We could have won the game.
Yeah.
Right. But luckily, we end up going to overtime instead of losing in regulation because of that.
Yeah.
And then Isaiah Collier gets a little bit of redemption with that game winner.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I was watching that game winner. He like splits the defenders. I thought for sure it was going to be a turnover.
Yeah.
So it seemed like he lost the ball, but yeah, he gets a clutch layup.
Yeah.
Looking good. What do you think this game tells you about him as Isaiah as our player?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to think that, you know, I kind of was feeling pretty good about Keontae George. I still feel good about Keontae George, but I was thinking, you know, he's our point guard of the future. I'm kind of almost feeling like it, because Isaiah Collier, 23-7-7, he's been nearing a triple-double in all the games this week pretty much, and he only turned the ball over twice. Keontae turns the ball over so much to be a primary ball handler.
And Isaiah has too.
He has.
I would say.
But if you can go 37 minutes and only turn it over twice, and I know maybe it's just one game, but you know, it's a flash in the pan, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of excited about Isaiah. He's looking really nice.
I think you were saying earlier he could be a triple-double guy.
Yeah,
because, like, remember Clarkson last year got that triple-double. It'd been, like, since Boozer.
It's wild that it's been that long,
Yeah, so I think he could get one at the end of the year, maybe one of those games where there's a lot of bench players in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he got 7-7, 23 points. Looking great out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to mention Colin Sexton has been pretty consistently at scoring 20 every single game.
Yeah, he's been playing
really
well.
Just give him
a
shout out. Even if we don't mention it every game, he's been balling out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really like, I don't know if you noticed this, but when I was watching the huddle after the 8-second violation, a lot of the veterans didn't dress this game.
Yeah.
And John Collins just puts his arm over Isaiah, like, to make him feel better.
Yeah.
So I think I, like, notice there's a good vibe around the locker room. Even when a guy makes a mistake, you're there to support him.
Yeah.
Still try and win, still try and do your best. So I like that from John Collins, that he's kind of let him know we're still with you. We're still... We're, even though you turn the ball over, we're still your teammate. We're still supporting you, right?
Yeah.
Make him feel better.
In my mind, that's why you keep around any of the... I mean, I know, I feel like in a few minutes we're going to talk about why we should trade all these guys, but...
Yeah,
but
we
it's
like
also,
John Collins.
Yeah, that's why you need guys like Patty Mills around, and even Colin Sexton has enough experience that you're like, he can, like, you know, help him know what to do in a situation, and...
Yeah.
You want guys like that to help a young team, you know?
Yeah, so shout out to John Collins for being a great teammate.
Absolutely.
I think if he gets traded, he will definitely be missed around the Jazz.
Absolutely. I had a chance to go to the... On Wednesday, we played the Hornets. We lost. It was a close game. This was kind of fun.
Yeah. LaMelo played.
He did,
He's been off and on all
he
the time,
did,
it
yeah.
feels like.
Got to see my boy Brandon Miller. He's carrying my fantasy team. Yeah, I don't know though. What were your thoughts on this game?
I just feel like it's kind of sad that we're competing with the Hornets because we know the Hornets are terrible.
Yeah.
But to be fair, a lot of guys weren't playing this game.
No, it was,
Lauri Markkanen wasn't playing. Keontae was, and he had a great game.
Yeah, he played well.
But Micah Potter was starting in this game, which is kind of a rarity. John Collins didn't play. Jordan Clarkson didn't play. So it was like, yes, it was our team, but a lot of guys you don't normally see.
Yeah.
Like Elijah Harkless from the two-way, the Salt Lake Stars, he played 21 minutes. Yeah. That's crazy. I don't think we've seen him play at all, and now he's playing 21 minutes. So.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah, I was. I thought Keontae played well, 226 points. One guy that just really impressed me, Bryce Sensabaugh, and I feel like we talk about him every week now, but he came in and scored like, it was like of our first 15 points, he had like 8 or 9 of them. Like he was just kind of hooping at the beginning.
Yeah, he had 12 in the first quarter.
Did he? Yeah, he was balling. And he only played 27. I guess that's pretty high for what we had. One guy I was really impressed with, Kyle Filipowski, had plus 12 on the floor. I thought he was playing really good defense. It didn't necessarily show up in the box score.
He hit his three-pointers too.
Yeah. Yeah, he took efficient shots, 3 for 5. We'll take that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Isaiah Collier, double-double this time. He didn't get the triple-double, but 11 and 10.
Yeah, very solid.
A lot of things to be excited about, I think, if you watch this game, even though it was a loss.
Yeah. I will point out, Cody Williams was minus 22 on the floor.
Yeah.
Which was, like, by far the worst on the team.
Ebbs and flows,
but
I guess.
He gets that experience. That's what you need to do. You need to have bad games.
That's right.
So.
That's right.
And then finish it off with the last game. It was at last night against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Pelicans, if you look at their record, they are awful, right?
Yeah.
Worst team in the league. But absolutely. You know they've had like 7+ injuries throughout the year. They're finally starting to get healthy. So
yeah.
I don't know. They've actually been starting to win games. And now the Jazz are above them in the standings, right?
Yeah, just a little Tankathon update. We're now in third place, which gives us the tie for the highest odds.
Let's go.
14%.
Who did we pass?
Us in New Orleans were pretty much tied, and so it put us a game ahead of them. But it's still, I mean, Charlotte and New Orleans both have 11 wins. We have 10. Toronto has 10 ahead of us. Washington still only has 6. It's insane.
I don't know if we'll catch them.
I don't think so either. Just pretty wild. We just want to be in that top 3, though. That's all we're really worried about. So.
And I do think the Raptors are definitely going to win games.
Yeah.
They have some good players.
Zion Williamson's back. So right. I think, and eventually Brandon Ingram will come back. So they're going to have a hard time losing. Jazz play New Orleans again this week, so we can further.
I don't know if you've noticed, but CJ McCollum's been having a really good year.
Yeah, he's been hooping.
He's averaging 21 a game.
Yeah.
So, like, Pelicans have players, so they should start winning, especially
I didn't realize
Zion.
DeJounte Murray was back, too. But he's been playing pretty decent. I mean, he's more of a defender. But
no, he made an all-star team. Yeah. On the Spurs, right? So he's a great player.
Absolutely.
So they did give us the business. High scoring game, by the way.
Yeah, holy cow. Almost
you're at,
no defense.
Yeah, 136 to 123.
Yeah.
So everybody was scoring like crazy.
It's pretty wild, yeah.
The Jazz made 13 three-pointers, but the Pelicans made 22.
Yeah.
So the Pelicans were just chucking and they had a really good shooting game.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of what happens sometimes in the NBA where you could even be a bad team, and if you make 22 threes, you might just win.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of what happened tonight.
Yeah, random games last year where we beat the Nuggets, or like it's just NBA is just a day to day. Even college basketball, you know, that's why March Madness is so fun. It's like you got to bring your A game every night.
Yeah, because you never know when Jose Alvarado is gonna hit 6 threes off the bench and bury you.
Yep. You never know if Cody Williams is gonna be 1 for 8 or 8 for 14. You know
exactly.
So you gotta be careful.
Yeah, I mean, also not a great game for Cody Williams. This game, he was minus 31 on the court, which is crazy.
That's pretty horrible.
He was probably guarding Jose Alvarado. Maybe that was happening.
Yeah, maybe.
No, yeah. Not a great game.
0 for 2. Only took 2. Oh, man. Yeah. Not great.
Yeah, but overall, kind of what we're hoping for. I'm glad that we're in that top 3 for Tank.
Absolutely.
We'll kind of keep you updated on how that goes. Is it time for Player of the Week?
I think so.
Okay. Well, this is my week to choose. multiple guys I think deserved it, but I'm going to go with Isaiah Collier this week.
Okay.
I know he only really had that one game against the Hornets that was like a standout.
Yeah.
And he did have like 10 assists in a game. But I just wanted to give it to him because this is the week that I'll probably remember Isaiah the most. Like he had that setback, the 8-second violation, but he was resilient and came back, gave us a game winner, gave us a good classic game. And I think looking back on this year, that's one of the moments I'm going to remember most is that game winner that he had.
Yeah.
And hopefully he'll only continue to learn from this and continue to be a great player.
Absolutely.
So shout out to Isaiah Collier for player of the week. And then just another guy that could have deserved it is Colin Sexton. He's been averaging like 20 every single game. Yeah. And then Keontae has had a couple of good games recently. So,
absolutely.
But we're giving it to Isaiah Collier because we haven't seen this from him yet.
I just want to point out too, I heard some people complaining this week about our top 10 picks the last couple of years, and I get the frustration. However, I think it's pretty crazy if you look at like what the Jazz are doing with their mid and late first round picks, like Isaiah, Keontae, Kyle Filipowski, even Walker Kessler,
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Derek Favors.
Once we get our guy, these guys are going to be. You can just plug these guys in, and it's going to be a great roster, I think. So I'm happy. I think Isaiah Collier. That's a great choice. He's been playing really well this week. He's finding his role. And he's playing with more confidence, which is what we need.
If anything, I think maybe his floor is like a really good backup point guard.
Yeah.
That can like be a playmaker, get absolutely. Like 5 or 6 assists a game.
Yeah.
And then his ceiling is like, who knows? We were saying like a slightly different version of De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So like, you never know. Like, I think, but at least I think he'll be a great facilitator.
Yeah,
like he's already kind of showing that right away.
Makes you wonder if he learned all that from Bronny James over at
USC, him and Bronny,
I'm sure,
over in practice, or maybe he learned it from LeBron, who knows.
Yeah, probably
in off season.
Well, we have 2 games coming up this week.
We do. Pelicans, like, again.
Yes, sir. What are you feeling? You think we can pull off the loss, if that's what we're trying to do.
Pull off the loss. I do think we're going to be able to pull off the loss. I'm going to say Pelicans win by 7.
Ooh, okay.
Pretty similar to last game. And I think Zion being back, the Pelicans are going to start winning. And I think the Jazz have a lot of reason to lose this game.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows, maybe Bryce Sensabaugh might have tankinitis again tomorrow. I think it's going to happen, so lose by 7.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Back-to-back games in New Orleans, I probably just stayed there the weekend. So hopefully our boys are eating good over there and maybe come out a little slow. I'm going to say a loss by 6, pretty close. I mean, pretty close to what you were saying, I think.
Right on.
Yeah, they're getting healthy. There should be no reason we win this game.
Then Wednesday, we play the Thunder, who, I don't know if you saw, they just beat the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Beat down.
I think... Yeah.
They look like the best team in the league, arguably.
They're insane. I'm going to say, part of me thinks that this is going to be a weirdly close game, even though it shouldn't be. I'm going to say Jazz still lose, but I'm going to say a loss by 2. I think it's going to be like a clutch time, you know, bucket or whatever.
I respect it. You've been predicting better than me, so I'm not going to...
Yeah.
We could be, but I have lose by 15.
Oh, okay.
I think the Thunder are going to blow us out.
Okay, that's fair.
I guess, what's like... How would the Jazz contain like a guy like Shea on the court?
Because
he's like 30 it's a tough. Game. He's hard to stop. We'll talk about him when we get to the All-Star ballots, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean... Yeah, I feel like he's just one of those guys you just got to pray. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of,
cause
what do you do?
He knows
you know?
How to draw fouls.
Yeah.
He can shoot very well.
Yeah.
He's kind of sneaky around the basket with his finishing.
Yeah, I think they have some good scorers around him. However, I think you could like, maybe the game plan is just like make everybody else beat you. Like maybe you just live with the 30 or 40
points.
You
live with Isaiah Joe, even though he's pretty good, or... Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Not Andrew Wiggins, Aaron Wiggins.
Aaron Wiggins, yeah. Maybe you just live with the fact that Shea's going to get his 30, 40 points, and then if you can just slow everybody else down, you know.
Yeah.
You can't win with 40 points, so, like, you know,
Exactly. Like, know. Maybe try and contain J-Dub or their big men, Wiggins and Joe. They've
got,
right?
Like, Lou Dort. And
Yeah.
Hartenstein's out, right?
I think he's been recently. He might come back.
I can remember he's been in and out, yeah.
Also, the defense of the Thunder is pretty crazy as well. They even get in the passing lanes. Yeah. I think it's going to be hard for us because we're one of the higher turnover teams.
Yeah.
And they're one of the higher forcing turnover teams.
Yeah.
We'll see how well we fare.
And I don't even think Caruso's been playing either, is the crazy part. Like, I was expecting him to come in and be like the guy defensively, but he hasn't really been like.
He's just been like their seventh or eighth guy off the bench. Maybe not even playing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. I can guarantee, though, Chet gets 0 points in this game. just kidding. But. Yeah,
we'll see. Wild. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting close to the trade deadline. We looked it up.
Yep.
February 6th. So give us like what, 3 weeks?
Yep.
Something like
Come
that.
Quick.
And then we'll have the trade deadline. If the Jazz didn't make a trade this deadline, would you be disappointed?
I think a little. Yeah. I mean, not disappointed because like this season's different because we don't need to trade in order to.
To be bad.
Yeah, we're already bad. But I feel like we would be like leaving some capital out there. Like guys like John Collins and Clarkson might give us some value. Otherwise, we're just letting him rot in our, you know, I don't know. So,
especially since like we traded John Collins for a second round pick.
Yeah.
And I think we should be able to get at least
first,
that,
probably.
Maybe I hope at least a late first rounder.
Yeah, I could see it.
So.
Yeah, John Collins is, as of right now, it's the only actual rumor that I've heard about the Jazz shopping. I'm sure they're doing more shopping, but apparently John Collins is being shopped around by the Jazz. The two teams, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, the two teams that have been rumored to be the most interested are the Kings and the Warriors. Does either of those teams have anything you'd want? Do you think we could get value from either of them?
Hey, I'd take Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think they want to give him up, though.
Yeah.
But, and the thing with him is he's going to want a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're wanting to pay him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would definitely take a late, like Warriors first round pick in like a few years when you think Curry might be retired.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they could be back to being bad. And for John Collins, I would love that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I remember we traded away Derek Favors for, and we gave them a first round pick to the Thunder. So like one, maybe we could get a similar trade where it's just like, hey, you guys can have John Collins.
Mm-hmm.
We want one of your picks later on.
Yeah.
And it'll come up back to bite them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then the Kings, I don't think they'd be willing to give up some of their pieces that we might want. Like Keegan Murray would be a guy I would consider, but I think he's untouchable for them. They really like him over there. Or,
maybe who's that rookie that they just drafted?
Devin Carter.
Devon Carter? Probably not. They probably,
I think they like him.
But,
I'd be willing to take Keon Ellis.
Keon Ellis, nice.
He's been balling this year. He's one of the best defenders in the league.
Yeah, he's nice. Do they still have DeMarcus Cousins? I'm just kidding.
DeMarcus. I think he's playing over in like Europe somewhere. Yeah.
I'm out of the Kings loop, I guess.
Yeah. But honestly, I don't really know if they have.
Yeah.
Would you take Kevin Huerter? Wouldn't be awful.
Maybe. You could do much worse, yeah.
I could see him being in a Jazz uniform, too.
Yeah. I'm not sure what his contract... That's... John Collins, I think that's the biggest challenge in these trades is John Collins' contract is just so ridiculous to try to match up.
Right. It's like $24
million. Yeah, I agree with you on the Warriors, though. Like, I just don't... The Warriors proved to us in the Lowry Markkanen saga this summer that... They're not interested in giving up value for players. They just want giveaways, you know? And I don't think the Jazz should give away to the Warriors. I also don't know what the Warriors are doing. I don't think John Collins makes them a contender. I don't know.
He might, like, same as the Lakers trading for Finney Smith. Like, maybe he moves the Warriors from, like,
a
play-in to a playoff team.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I would want at least Moses Moody. I like Moses Moody a lot. I know a lot of people... Pajemski, it seems like they like Pajemski, though. They wouldn't trade him for Markkanen.
Actually,
so.
He's been not that great this year
really?
Compared to last, so maybe they would.
Could be a sophomore slump.
Also, Kevin Huerter, he makes $16 million and $17 million next year.
Okay.
So like,
might match up a little better.
You might be able to match the contract up, and then so you might need like one other guy with like $6 million.
Yeah.
And I think that's doable.
Interesting.
So I wouldn't hate that if maybe we got Kevin Huerter
Yeah.
Salary dump, or we got a first round pick from somebody.
Let's just go get DeMar. Why not? I'm just kidding.
DeMar DeRozan, Lauri Markkanen, Keontae George. We're playoff team.
Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah, I'd definitely do that in 2K.
Yeah. Jazz have a couple other, I'll say aging in air quotes, stars, I guess, because not all of them are really aging, but Clarkson, Sexton. Do you feel like it's time to move on from either of those guys? Maybe they're in different situations, but what are you feeling about them? I haven't really heard any rumors, but
I mean, Clarkson's been on the trade block all of last year too.
Yeah.
His contract's pretty nice for teams. I think it's like 12 or 14. I could see him being a guy that could get moved. I just don't know which team wants him.
Yeah.
And he has been kind of injured here and there too. So I wonder if teams look at that and they don't love the fact that he's not always on the floor.
Yeah, I could see the Lakers being interested, but I feel like the Lakers are just so like dry of any like potential trade assets. Like they're just so they keep trading everything away.
I also think the Jazz would probably, since Clarkson's been here so long, they probably wouldn't just send him anywhere. They'd probably send him somewhere that he actually might want to go.
He did like LA though. I know he liked playing for the Lakers,
he's played in LA before, so maybe. Yeah. The only thing is I don't want anything LA has.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, yeah. So they don't have any of their own picks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's a tough one. Sexton, I'm kind of on the fence about. I feel like he's like, I could see him being a part of the future, but also I think his trade value is probably at its highest right now, maybe. Yeah.
If we were a playoff team right now, he might be in all-star conversations.
Yeah, I could see it.
Like, since we're so bad, of course he's not. But you look at his stats, he's having a really good season. If we were in contention, I think he should be in all-star conversation. But of course he's not. So I don't know. I'm kind of wanting to keep him a little bit longer. Maybe see if, I guess, one, if we could capitalize on his value in a trade. Or two, we could just use him once we get our high draft pick this year.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of all-stars, I think it's time we cast our 2024-25.
Let's go. The official tuned in ballots.
Yeah, and we're taking it further than your everyday social media poster. We're gonna predict all 24 spots or cast all 24 votes for the whole all-star teams.
Before you reveal, or we'll reveal like starters first probably, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Before we do that, how hard was this for you? Did you leave off anybody that you think should make it, or vice, or maybe it was easy for you, like kind of just fell into place?
I think the starters for me were pretty cut and dry, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But once you get to the reserves, it starts getting like then you start to have to factor in like, how is their team doing? Does their team deserve one all-star or two all-stars? Or
if they're like in like the tankathon, are they deserving an all-star or not?
Right, yeah. And you're like, oh, this guy's been injured, but he still has a really good stat line. How many games does he play? It gets really weird.
Yeah.
It was a little tough. I don't know. How was it for you?
I'll definitely say this is like, some of these I just had to make a split second decision before we started.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm definitely open to switching.
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
It was hard. There was probably in both conferences at least like four guys off the list that I wish I could have put on.
Absolutely.
Last year it was very heavy for the West for me. This year it was kind of more heavy towards the East for me.
Oh, really?
So
yeah,
a lot of guys not making it that I think deserve it. Yeah. You know, there'll be always a couple injuries, so
yeah,
we'll see. Dang.
Well, maybe we'll start in the West with the starters. Do you want to, you can go first if you want.
Let's maybe just do our guards.
Okay.
That's so right. I think the obvious one I have is Shea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I got Steph Curry for my other one.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Who did you have for your guys?
I had Luka. I know he's been injured, but his stats are just insane. He was on an MVP pace before his injury.
Yeah.
It's hard to not put it. He probably wouldn't play, but it would be.
I know a lot of it is the fan votes too. I know Curry's got that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I guess the real big reason for me just not putting Luka is just the games played. If he was playing all those games, he probably would make it.
That's fair.
And then for my forwards, I got Jokic.
Easy.
Lock.
Easy money.
Probably MVP right there. I got Anthony Davis and LeBron.
Nice. Yeah. Mine's pretty similar. I had Jokic, LeBron, and KD.
Okay.
I was debating Anthony Davis or KD. I was like thinking in my head when I approached this, I was like, ah, man, I don't know if I could put LeBron in my starters this year. But looking at his stats, I'm like, dang, dude, this is crazy. Yeah, and
the Lakers are in the playoffs. They're like in the sixth seed or something like that.
And LeBron's doing what he does. KD's averaging like 27 points a game. It's wild.
Yeah, but the Suns are not doing so great.
They're pretty bad, yeah.
I'll also say I was really, really considering putting Wemby in the starters.
Yeah, I
thought
so too.
But his team is not doing great at all either.
Yeah, it's hard to put two centers in your starting lineup too, I feel like. I mean, I know it's
Yeah, I mean, you can. It's just forwards, yeah.
It's true.
So I guess, spoilers for some of our bench. So I'm guessing, so you had Durant in the starters, so that means you had AD in the bench.
Yep.
Did you, and then Wemby.
I did have one.
And then did you have Steph Curry in the bench too?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so then we all have those same ones.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll do a couple more guards. Okay. I had Anthony Edwards and Ja Morant.
Okay. Nice. I had both those guys as well. I think they both played really well, especially Anthony Edwards. He's been crazy.
And then probably the next two, I don't know if you'll have these because it's competitive. Mm-hmm. I got J-Dub.
That's what I have too.
Let's go. Okay, J-Dub from the Thunder, and then I got Sabonis.
Oh, okay.
That's my last one.
I had one more guard. I had Devin Booker. It's only, I guess that's only different.
I was he was the last guy off the list that I couldn't put in.
Yeah, I think he's having, man, Sabonis, I forgot about Sabonis. I probably wouldn't change it, but yeah, Sabonis is a hard one to keep off. He's just crazy.
I was thinking like De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis are both having amazing seasons.
Yeah.
And I would feel so sad if I didn't put either of them, because last year they both missed out. So
it's tough.
A little bit of my heart in that, even though Devin Booker might deserve it.
Yeah.
So I put Sabonis.
Oh, man.
But the hard one for me was Ja as well, because he's been hurt, but his team is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You could also argue Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah.
I could be in there.
His stats were up there too, yeah.
So.
Yeah, pretty wild.
And then I think a lot of people are voting for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
We didn't have him making it, but it was close.
I was trying to put Joe Ingles in there. I couldn't justify it, but
yeah. I mean, he had that one like inbound play. I don't know if you saw where they put him in just for an inbound, and he got like, I don't remember what the play was, but he's got like a 1400 plus minus advanced thing now. So
I saw he literally made the pass and then walked to the bench because he was literally just doing the pass. I was like, dang, bro.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Good old Joe. So we have the exact same. I think the only difference was you put Durant in the starters. I put Anthony Davis. Yeah. And then I think you put Booker instead of Sabonis.
Yeah.
That was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I think the West is a little
even
easier. Though it's like, yeah, even though it's different guys this year, it is a little... little easier. I feel like those guys separated themselves. So
yeah.
Well, that takes us to the East. Maybe we'll start with the guards again. Who would you have as your starting guards?
Got Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell.
Ooh, okay. I had LaMelo Ball and Jalen Brunson. I think LaMelo's been playing really well.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about the record, maybe I should have changed that. I when I was going through my list, I almost left Donovan Mitchell off my list.
Really?
Because
he's been averaging less points.
Yeah.
But this team is doing amazing.
Yeah.
He's getting all the fan votes too.
Yeah.
But so is LaMelo.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't leave him off. I just left him off my starters. But yeah, it's
And then you had Brunson.
Jalen Brunson. Okay. He's been hooping. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got to be on there.
The Knicks are really good. Yeah.
Then who'd you have for your forwards?
Well, I had your boy Giannis, of course. That one's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum, to me, is an easy one. This one's kind of interesting. I had Karl Anthony Towns. I think he's been fitting really nice.
I had him too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there were some years in Minnesota where Karl Anthony Towns just looked like an elite scorer, and I think he's getting back to that. He's also looked better defensively, which I wasn't expecting. And so I think he deserves, especially with,
Embiid saga.
I was going to say, I don't know if you put Embiid on there, but I just couldn't justify putting Embiid on my roster at all. But
I
had to put Cat in there. So,
yeah, no, I had Towns as my starter too. So I think,
yeah,
I just had Mitchell different.
Yeah, that's fair.
So then on my bench, I know already we definitely have some differences because I did have Joel Embiid.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
In my bench, just because like the man is not human.
Yeah.
When he is on the court, like he's pretty unstoppable.
Yeah.
And he's definitely taken a big step back from last year just because he's not playing as much as people want. But I still put him on. I don't know how many games played he has, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to think. It's probably not a lot. I'll look this up actually, because I think he's played he's played 13 games this year.
Okay, I might consider moving him then. I don't know.
It's hard. I mean, yeah, but 13 his stats,
games were really good. Yeah. You know what? I'll make an executive decision. I'm gonna kick him out.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah, I mean, I could respect it though. He's got 27 points and eight boards and three assists.
I didn't know it was only 12 games.
And
well, I guess I'm gonna guess, since I hopefully you had these guys. I think. Mm-hmm. I had Paolo. Did you have Paolo?
I just dropped him off. But
no. Okay, then we got a lot of different.
I think it was just because of injuries for me.
That's fair.
He started really hot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say maybe we'll look up how many games Paolo's played.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to look. I think he's at 9 games this year.
Oh, seriously, yeah. Dang.
The East is having
feels like he's played more. I guess he'd been like out. He had been out for a really long time.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
He was on my list and I dropped him off when I realized I forgot Donovan Mitchell. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. I didn't even realize it was 9 games played.
Yeah. That's all good.
So, maybe then we'll say maybe Paolo and Embiid just. They would make it if they played more, but maybe since they didn't, I'll probably take them off just because they didn't play enough.
That's fair.
Who did you have like as your guards off the bench then? Because I'll probably sub them out.
Man, I had quite a few guards in the East. I had a hard time picking front court guys, to be honest, but I think Tyrese Maxey deserves a spot. Damian Lillard, that's pretty easy for me. Donovan Mitchell, we've already talked about him. One sneaky one I thought was Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
He's been balling this year. I reluctantly put Trae Young, even though he kind of torched us, but...
I had those same four: Trae Young, Lillard, Cade, and Maxey.
Oh, nice.
And then I also had LaMelo off my bench. I'm just subbing him in for Embiid,
Fair enough.
And then did you have Jaylen Brown?
I did. I forgot he's a guard. Yeah. Yeah, I do have Jaylen Brown.
He's kind of a forward.
Yeah.
And then who else did you
have?
My
last spot, just because I feel like Cleveland's playing well enough to have two All-Stars, I put Evan Mobley.
Yep.
I think he's been playing
I think
really
he
well.
Deserves it too.
Yeah. I think his stats are kind of hard to justify it, but when you look at his team success, you're like, Cleveland's got to have at least two All-Stars. And it's not Jared Allen. It's not Darius Garland this year. Probably Evan Mobley.
And you know, defense doesn't always show up on the stats.
That's true, yeah.
And Evan Mobley's an amazing defender, and he's taken a huge leap offensively.
Absolutely.
I'll say, so I guess I would have put Paolo and Embiid, but if I take them off, I'm putting LaMelo and Mobley.
Okay, fair enough.
But some guys that I think should deserve some shout, but maybe we don't make the list. Jalen Johnson from the Hawks.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Dude's averaging 20 and 10 and 5.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do that. Honestly, I was very close to putting him over Trae Young.
Yeah.
And just putting him in my All-Star, but I flipped it at the last minute.
Dang.
But he's been playing very well. And then I also might have put Tyrese Halliburton because the Pacers are still pretty good, even though he had a slow start.
Yeah.
And then Tyler Hero.
Oh,
24
man.
Game for him. He's
too.
Actually kind of carrying the Heat while Jimmy's Lucky, having his saga.
Yeah.
So like I really wanted to put Tyler Hero, but I couldn't put him over like guys like Cade or Trae Young.
How funny would it be if Jimmy Butler made it? Just like big middle finger to the Heat. That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
we didn't have Jimmy Butler in there, of course.
Yeah.
He's been having a bad year, but we'll see where he ends up going.
Yeah.
But that was fun. I definitely think there's a lot of guys in the East that I didn't realize we're so injured. It's a close race.
Man, I feel like a broken record because I say this all the time, but the NBA just has so much talent right now. It's like, that's why sometimes it makes no sense to me why people aren't watching the NBA, because it's like, this is the most, like, every team has a guy who you could probably make an argument could be an All-Star, maybe other than the Jazz, I don't know. But it's pretty wild how much talent we have right now.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, you know, talent and putting teams together, how's your fantasy team doing?
They're actually mid right now. They're doing okay.
I think you ended up beating me last week, right?
Yeah, I think I beat you barely.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
It was a close one.
Yeah.
But Zach LaVine's still doing his thing. I had a couple guys get injured.
Dang.
But overall, they're doing okay. Fox was out for a couple games, which kind of hurt me.
Oh, dang, yeah. That would
Yeah, I'd say probably my MVP right now is Anthony Edwards. he's just been putting up tons of points, lots of threes, rebounds, assists, pretty much everything. So he's just been probably my MVP recently.
I just looked. I'm up 8-1 in my matchup this week, so I'm kind of killing it.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
But I don't usually do that, though, so I'll take the 8 wins.
Yeah, my guys, I don't think I've lost a single week with rebounding either.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you have a lot of rebounders, but I've got like Zubac. I've got Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
I've got Giannis, who are all like top 10 rebounders.
Yeah.
And then I also have Michael Porter, who gets like a decent amount, and Cam Johnson.
That's killer.
So it's like, I don't think I've lost a single week when it comes to rebounds. Like, yeah. My guys go crazy for that. And then my boy, I got Derek White. He averages more blocks than some of my centers.
Yeah. Those are just like the fantasy workhorses. Like the guys are like, I'm going to just.
Yeah, he averages 1.2 blocks, which you wouldn't think it, but that's the same as Zubac.
Oh my gosh.
So my boy Derek White, that's he's wild. Getting at least a block a game sometimes too.
Dang, dude. Yeah. Him and Drew Holiday in there together. Although Drew Holiday's been having a down year. He's on my team, but they got a crazy. Defenders on the outside there. That's crazy.
Yeah, for a while some guys were injured, I picked up Chris Dunn.
Oh, let's go.
Just because he does 2 steals a game. Why not? And I need that. Yep.
Clippers have... Yeah, they're
actually doing not bad. They're in the play-in, at least.
Yeah. I think Tyronn Lue is an incredible coach. The fact that he has that roster is even relevant at all is pretty wild to me. With Kawhi still playing games, pretty much. Oh, pretty wild.
Yep.
Well, speaking of games, Utah Hockey Club is not really playing in their games, apparently.
Yeah, but they just go on these like bad spouts. It's kind of tough.
Yeah, not great. I believe since we updated you last week, we were 0-3. 18, 19, and 7. We're now below 500. I was listening to somebody. I think it was a Utah Hockey Club podcast. I'll have to look up what it was called. But they were saying that there's a couple games next week that they have to win in order to stay in the playoff hunt. So I guess it's crunch time for the Utah Hockey Club. But
yeah, it looks like I'm looking at like the fan attendance thing. I think we only have like 11,000 seats that are actually available in there. And if I'm right, like on the website, right, it's looking like we're selling out like, I think every single game that I see on here, we're selling out.
Yeah.
Even though it's only 11,000 fans, like the Jazz have like what, 16, 17,000?
Yeah.
So less seats, but like they're all being sold.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So people are still into it.
Yeah, that's good. I think I'm really grateful that the Jazz and the Hockey Club have an owner like Ryan Smith who's willing to, like, there's no way that the whole like fan friendly pricing on food or like making tickets $10. Or throwing in tickets as part of deals, like making him money. But like in the long run, it's going to build like interest in the hockey club, you know? And it keeps people somewhat excited about the Jazz, even though they have no reason to be now. Probably.
He cares more about the people than the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Of the profit, right?
And we're lucky because that's not true everywhere, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. You know, Dallas Cowboys, that's not always the case.
Yeah, we don't have a Jerry Jones, that's for sure.
Yeah, so hopefully they get back. They have 2 more home games coming up, so maybe we could win one or 2 of those.
Absolutely. Kind of a home game for the Cougs. Not really.
Play home in Salt Lake. Away from home.
Yeah. BYU plays Utah tonight, Saturday, the 18th. We should win this game, but we should have beat them last year too, so... Who knows? It seems like this is always a close game no matter what sport we play. So,
yeah, is this Kibakeda's revenge?
I think so, yeah.
He's transferring. Yeah, I think we should win, but you never know with Utah. They're always going to keep it close, and it's always going to be very loud in there.
Yeah, it was exciting watching. We were both at the Oklahoma State game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we've been a little nervous about Yegor Demon, but I thought that last couple minutes, the 5-10 minutes of the game, he was looking confident again.
Yeah, we were losing steam, letting him come back, and we got control. And Yegor was smart with the ball, at least for that last stretch.
He scored like 11 in the second half.
Yeah.
Which is, I think he had 0 in the first half. So
I was also very impressed with Trevin Nell and Richie Saunders. They've been playing really well and shooting well.
Absolutely.
It helps when there's guys like that that can shoot for Yegor so that he can have more space and operate.
Yeah.
And Dallin Hall didn't play too bad either. He's kind of sometimes inconsistent.
Yeah. I think Kevin Young's learning you have to rely on your experience in college basketball. Because, like, we started the season with Cannon Catching, Yegor Demon, those type of guys. But our starting lineup the other night was Richie.
Mag.
Trevin Nell, Mag. Yeah, like, those guys who, like, they've been around the Big 12 last year. They've even been around college basketball, so you need that in college basketball. Oh, yeah. So.
And then we've got our football, both college and NFL.
Shoot, that's this week, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on Tuesday where we get the college football finals.
I actually think that's going to be a really good game. Ohio State, Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, no, big game, big teams.
Storied programs. Holy cow, dude.
Yeah. I was hoping for some variety.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
that's fair.
I'm hoping Notre Dame wins. I know a lot of other people are too. Ohio State's kind of pinned as like the villain.
Yeah.
To a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm kind of a anti Notre Dame guy, but I'm kind of tired of teams like Ohio State just like winning every year. Notre Dame hasn't been relevant in a while, so it's kind of, I'm hoping for them. I think they could do it.
Yeah, their coach is like the first like black coach to make the final.
Yeah, he's young too. Holy cow, he's very young.
I think he played at Ohio State, I'm pretty sure. Like, I saw a graphic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 30, crazy. He's 39 years old. That's wild.
That is crazy.
Before 40 years old, he's playing in the
championship. He seems like a fun coach, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Seems like what I want to play for.
And then your Ravens, they got a win.
Yes, sir.
They look pretty good in their playoff game.
Hey, you'll take a win over the Steelers.
Steelers.
Right? We'll beat our rivals any day of the week.
Yeah, do you think chatter's going around, maybe Mike Tomlin might be fired pretty soon?
I saw that, yeah. I feel like it's a hard case to make because I feel like, I don't even think he's missed the playoffs, has he? Like,
I think he's made the playoffs, but he's not won a playoff game.
Yeah.
And it's been like 10 years or more where he hasn't won one.
I could respect that. I don't know. I feel like we're seeing around the NFL with how much movement there's been with head coaches that it's hard to find a good head coach in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
You may like release a guy and find out that the next guy is not actually better than the guy you had. So it's like your Patriots are finding out.
There's two ways you can go about it. One is you can just ride with your guy, or die with Mike Tomlin or whoever the coach is. Or another thing you can do, and NBA teams do this, is just if it doesn't work, fire him after one season.
Yeah.
And just go on to the next until you get one you like.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if that's... Sometimes that might be good. I think for the Patriots' sake, with firing Gerard Mayo, I think the reason they fired him was because Mike Vrabel was available.
Mike Vrabel.
And I think if Vrabel wasn't available, then they might have kept him another year.
Yeah, after our episode last week we were talking about it, you called it. You're like, we're going to get Vrabel. And then
Yep. I think Vrabel wants to come here. He's played here. He loves it.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe the conversation shouldn't necessarily be, should we fire Mike Tomlin? I think it should be, are the other candidates that we'd replace him with better than Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, that's
true. And if they're not, we'll keep him. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I that's kind of how I've been feeling about, I'm not a huge Lamar Jackson guy in general. I just like, up to this point before this season, I'm like, it just doesn't seem like it leads to winning at big games, like his style play. But this year, holy cow, dude, he's balling
out
right now. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm happy to be proven wrong about my boys over there, especially with Derrick Henry over there taking some of the load off with the rushing.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
And Lamar Jackson this year has been proving that he can actually throw the ball, which is kind of the criticism I had, which was like, is he actually a quarterback or is he just some freak athlete that's like really crazy? So anyways.
Yeah, he's probably going to win a third MVP.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people could argue Josh Allen could win it too. So
I could see
it's kind of close.
Yeah. If we can get past the Chiefs, I think, I know we got a couple games before that, but
yeah,
Chiefs are going to be the tough one probably.
Yeah, I guess I filled out like a NFL bracket with some of my family.
Yeah.
I put the Lions and the Bills in the championship.
I'm
just going to predict the Bills win this year. I think it's Josh Allen's year to get one. And the Bills have never won a Super Bowl. So part of me just picked that because I hope the Bills finally get one.
Yeah.
But Lions have also never won one. I don't think so. Maybe
that's true.
One or both of those teams.
Yeah, I got Ravens. Of course, I can't, you know, root against my boys. Of course, I got Ravens, Lions. Dude, the Lions. Holy cow! Like Dan Campbell, man, that guy's so crazy.
I don't think anybody dislikes him. It seems like most people like him.
He just like,
unless they're playing your team.
He seems like such a cool guy to play for. And low-key, I'm rooting for the Lions. If they play my Ravens, I won't root for him. But anybody else, I'll probably root for him this year.
Yeah. Do you think if Patrick Mahomes gets 3 in a row, he's like in the GOAT conversation already? Or is it still a couple more Super Bowls away?
Yeah, I think maybe this is a hot take. I think it's already time to like start putting Patrick Mahomes in that. Just like, he's 29, so he could play another 10, 11 years probably if he takes care of himself.
He's got to take care of himself.
Yeah. I mean, the big quarterbacks play late into their 30s. I guess it depends on the quarterback, but even if he's got 5 or 6 more years, he gets another championship or two.
Yeah. I mean, right now he's got 3.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm biased because I'm a Patriots fan. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, of course, Tom Brady's got 7. It's pretty hard to compete with.
Yeah.
And his stats and his success
yeah.
when winning, even like when he didn't win the Super Bowls, he was in the AFC Championship or Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that should count for something. I think if he does get a three-peat and then we look back at this like 10 years later and he might win more and continue mm-hmm. his track, that could be a good argument point.
Absolutely.
Once we get to that point where kind of we've seen his full career.
Yeah.
But I don't, for me personally, I'm still putting Tom Brady in. Patrick Mahomes needs to play 5 to 10 more years for me to see what he ends up doing before I decide.
That's right.
Kind of a thing, but. But 3 in a row has never been done before. That would be huge.
Yeah, that would be
for his legacy.
Yeah, I think the big question mark with Patrick Mahomes is like tight ends don't play as long as quarterbacks. So Travis Kelce won't stick around. Andy Reid's not going to be his coach forever. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Probably not, but maybe. So it'll be interesting to see once things change up a little in Kansas City. If it changed up already. Tyreek Hill left and he still made it work. So maybe that's just a moot point, but I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. We're grateful if you made it to this point. Leave us 5 stars. Let us know what you think of the episode. Catch us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, on Instagram. We're also there. And then check out like our last episodes we've done. Some recaps of like the past games for every single game this year. We've talked about some trades. We've talked about the tanking, talked about some of the rookies as they've gone along this season. So check out those past episodes. And we hope you stay safe in the snow and take care.
Peace.